This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We see it for ourselves, the mess in Iraq created by George Bush. Over 1,000 U.S. soldiers killed, kidnappings, Americans held hostage. Bush sees nothing wrong. It's time for a fresh start. John Kerry has voted for the largest military and intelligence budget increases in our nation's history, endorsed by chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Presidents Reagan and Clinton.
After September 11th, our world changed. Either we fight terrorists abroad or face them here. John Kerry and liberals in Congress have a different view. They opposed Reagan as he won the Cold War, voted against the first Gulf War, voted to slash intelligence after the first Trade Center attack. John Kerry and his liberal allies, are they a risk we can afford to take today?
Unidentified announcers featured in campaign ads for Senator John Kerry and President George W. Bush, who endorsed those messages. And those ads are currently running in swing states. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott, and thank you so much for those wonderful commercials.
Yes. The American people certainly need to hear them one more time,
yes,
don't they?
Indeed.
Actually, if you don't live in those swing states, they're news. If you aren't in a place that's considered to be at risk electorally or whatever the term of art is, those commercials are in fact revelations. Let me ask you about the polls. To note that in virtually every major poll we see, the candidates are either tied or one or the other is slightly ahead.
Right.
All of the results seem to be within the margin of error. Early voting has already begun in Florida and some other states. The candidates are hitting Iowa, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Florida this weekend as we speak. What's your take on the present state of this campaign?
Well, or as you suggest, you take the opinion polls, the many of them, lump them all together, and you summarize them. They indicate that either President Bush is slightly ahead or exactly dead even with him. Whether the intense down-to-the-wire campaigning that's going on will change many votes is hard to say. I have a sense that to an unusual degree people seem to have made their minds up on the basis of previous conceptions about the candidates, judgments about character, judgments about things not specifically related to the platforms and policies. So there we are.
You and some other people less expert than you, but you were saying that weeks and even months ago that this seemed to be different and there didn't seem to be a large group of what we would call uncommitted voters that either candidate could tap.
That's right. The people speak of deep divisions in the voting population, and there is a difference between a nation divided and a nation polarized, more than the nation that I've known in the past. What we see is the difference. Americans tended once to accept the outcome of an election and go on. Now there is a tendency not to accept the legitimacy of our elections. That's why you get some deep reference still to the 1980 election, the 2000 election, and the intervention of the Supreme Court. There is still more poll watchers being put on into the polling places than usual. There are a bunch of lawyers who are ready to intervene, saying that the election is only the first stage in what now becomes a litigation stage. There is a happy tendency not to quite accept an election as being what it used to be.
And would you agree with the assessment some people are making that, against the expectation of some, the war in Iraq has seemed to trump the economy and other domestic issues as the deciding factor?
Well, yes, put slightly different way. I think what has trumped all these other issues is simple fear, a fear of being vulnerable to terrorism. It translates itself into the search for a protector. President Bush has the advantage that he's been through this once before in 9/11. If he didn't immediately respond in the first few minutes, altogether his campaign seems to be guided by emotion about who will take care of us more than any of the other issues that you see. It takes me back to 1932 when Franklin D. Roosevelt spoke those immortal lines, "There's nothing to fear but fear itself." There may be nothing to fear now but fear itself, but there's plenty of it.
Let's turn now to events in Iraq. Margaret Hassan, a worker at the CARE International Aid Organization, was abducted in Baghdad on Tuesday. She's born in Ireland, raised in the UK. She has lived in Iraq for more than 30 years, is married to an Iraqi man, is an Iraqi citizen. I'm not sure there's so many people who've been abducted you can refer to anyone being a totally unexpected target for a kidnapping, but at this point...
No, but this was unusual.
Yeah.
This was unusual in the sense that she's Iraqi-born, has an Iraqi husband, and has spent practically her entire life helping Iraqis, presumably the people who theoretically these terrorists are trying to befriend. And so, yes, it is a little bit different than most. Why? How can it be? Well, maybe there's some competition among terrorist groups for who can do the most dastardly kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To kidnap a person whose life is devoted to helping other people. First of all, she was an easy target because nobody assumed that she would do that. And secondly, it's the attraction of doing what is so repugnant when you are a terrorist.
She made a very moving and emotional appeal to the people of Great Britain to withdraw their troops from Iraq and to Prime Minister Blair specifically.
Yeah.
Coming the same week that the British government agreed to redeploy 850 Black Watch troops from Basra to an area closer to Baghdad where they can assist U.S. troops. Now, this puts any country in a difficult position because they don't want to give in to terrorism. They don't want to make themselves more vulnerable to more kidnappings by dealing. But is there some particular pressure now that's placed on Prime Minister Blair?
Well, clearly, here is a government in Britain which is already in a great deal of trouble for having helped out the United States or joined the coalition, depending on how you want to put it. And now there is this pressure, a great human pressure, when you have a woman like this who's appeared in their videos, and it would arouse sympathy from almost anybody. If that translates itself, however, into weakness and giving in to their demand that the British troops move away or something like that, you clearly invite a lot more of that terrorism. The British government has reacted accordingly.
Staff Sergeant Ivan Chip Frederick, sentenced Thursday to 8 years in prison for his role in the abuses at the Abu Ghraib prison. This is the harshest punishment so far.
Yes.
He is so far the highest-ranked person to be implicated, indicted in the scandal. Have we learned anything more about the possibility of this responsibility rising up to the chain of command?
Well, it's hard to believe that this will end with a staff sergeant. But here is Ivan Chip Frederick. He's a church-going father of two. A couple of other soldiers have been convicted. There are more coming. It is not clear yet how far up the ladder this will go, but there was a report that was written by former military officers suggesting that it went right up to the office of the Secretary of Defense. What keeps it from going into that office, we will see.
Quickly, poll conducted by the International Republican Institute for what these polls mean showed that if Iraq's elections were held today, Iraqis would vote for leaders of religious parties, not the U.S.-backed interim government. Does the U.S. have to prepare to deal with that, deal with a religious government in Iraq?
That is the little nightmare that hangs over them, that if they do succeed in having an election, which is ensured, then they may get the Shiites in with their majority, and the next thing you know, they face the government not of their choosing, which asks them to get out.
Dan, the Yankees lost this week to the Red Sox. You grew up in the shadow of Yankee Stadium. How are you taking it?
Well, I don't think that one should allow himself to be tied into where he comes from. I think one must be a total opportunist. And as far as I am concerned, the idea of having red jackets and red socks is rather a nice color.
Oh, thanks very much. I knew you'd cut to the chase. Dan Shore.